the back of your psalm insert, you'll find the gospel acclamation for this Sunday. I invite you to stand for the gospel ringing and the singing of that gospel acclamation. Gospel from Mark chapter 1, beginning with verse 21. Jesus and his disciples went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Have you heard the old adage, "Know your enemies"? Often it's used in military terms, to find out as much as you can about who you're fighting against. What are their strengths and weaknesses, so that you know what you should or shouldn't do? It seems our current political climate also takes advantage of knowing your enemies, so that your side is successful in advancing their particular agenda. To me, it's interesting that in our gospel for today, the unclean spirit is the first to recognize Jesus. And the unclean spirit is an enemy and is scared. The unclean spirit cried out, "Jesus of Nazareth, have you come to destroy us? I know that you're the Holy One of God." Jesus rebukes the evil unclean spirit, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." Talk of unclean spirits, of demon possession, of exorcisms isn't common today. Mark, more than any other gospel writer, emphasizes Jesus' miraculous power to heal and to exorcise. Of the 18 miracles recorded in Mark, 13 have to do with healing, and 4 of them are exorcisms. Jesus knows the enemy and wants it exposed as contrary to what God's kingdom is about. God's kingdom is about health. It's about restoration. It's about health and hope. If you look at Jesus' first miracles or public acts in each of the Gospels, you'll notice that Jesus is revealed differently. In Matthew, Jesus is the teacher at the Sermon on the Mount. In Luke, Jesus preaches his first sermon with a concern for the poor and the outcast and the oppressed. For John, Jesus is revealed as the abundant God, changing 180 gallons of water into wine. In Mark, it's Jesus casting out an unclean spirit. Jesus is concerned about health, about setting us free from whatever oppresses us. All the things that are contrary to God's spirit are now on their way out. That's what the kingdom of God looks like. It looks like an exorcism. David Lose put it succinctly when he wrote, "God is steadfastly opposed to anything and everything that attempts to rob you of the abundant life that God seeks to give you." I repeat, God is steadfastly opposed to anything and everything that attempts to rob you of the abundant life that God seeks to give you. God is against all of those forces of evil that seek to diminish or minimize the gift of life. What are those forces, those unclean spirits that seek to rob us of the abundant life that God desires to give to us. What are those forces that drain our energies, that deplete our joy, meaning, and purpose of our lives? I can't answer that question for you. However, I know what some of those forces are for me, those unclean spirits, and perhaps some of you. They might include racism or sexism or gambling, coveting money or wealth, pornography, alcohol or other chemical dependencies, prejudice, focusing only on yourself, finding meaning only through work, striving after power. When I look at unclean spirits or demons in that light, they don't seem so foreign. I have at times been possessed with anger at someone. I do have workaholic tendencies. I've wished ill on someone else. There are times when I haven't shared my resources as generously as I could have. I've said and done things that I regret. It's as though there's a spirit at war within me, like the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans. I can will what is right, but I can't do it. For I don't do the good that I want, but the evil that I do not want is what I do. Paul isn't saying that he can never do what is right, but that there are times when there's a tension at work within us between what we want to do and what God wants us to do. A tension, perhaps, between my interests, my bank account, rather than freeing up resources for the neighbor I've never met. Maybe those unclean spirits are even socially acceptable. Things like workaholism or greed. Do you recall the movie Wall Street from a few years back, where Michael Douglas as Gordon Gekko gave a speech where he said, "Greed, for lack of a better word, is good." He went on to make the point that greed is a clean drive that captures the essence of the evolutionary spirit. Greed in all its forms is good. Greed for life, greed for money, greed for love. Knowledge has marked the upward surge of mankind. He then compared the United States to a malfunctioning corporation and said, "Greed could still save us." The unclean spirits are not just personal things that seek to diminish the abundant life that God seeks to give us. Sometimes those things that diminish the abundant life have something to do with something much more complicated, and complicated issues like health care, immigration, the military, human rights violations, and on the list goes. The issue today isn't what political party you support, who you voted for, but to recognize that our faith calls us to be involved personally and publicly. We don't have to agree, but we do need to care. It's clear that we too sometimes are possessed by an unclean spirit. Jesus is at work, though, to clean us, to reorient our lives toward the abundant life that God seeks to give us. Sometimes that happens through confession and forgiveness. Sometimes it happens through talking to someone else. Sometimes through therapy, sometimes through AA, through prayer, through parenting groups, through anger management classes, through experiences where we sense God's presence tangibly in our lives, or whatever that source of help might be. God is at work in all these ways, and so many more, to free us from the unclean spirits that still possess us. The people in the synagogue were amazed that Jesus spoke with authority. Even the unclean spirits obey him. It was Jesus' authority over and power over all the forces that seek to diminish the abundant life that God wants to give us that prompted him to cast out the unclean spirit. In Mark, it's clear that the evil forces have the most to lose in Jesus' coming and in the coming kingdom of God. In a worldly sense, Jesus didn't have any power. He wasn't a worldly king. He didn't have a military. He wasn't one of the priests who held the power in Roman Judea. The only authority he had was knowing that he was speaking for God. His authority was in the power of his words and in what he did. In contrast, Jesus confronts the evil forces. Jesus approaches the unapproachable. His words carry power. Those things which diminish life are challenged and defeated, whether it's an unclean spirit or healing of body, mind, and soul, or even the last enemy to be defeated, death. Unclean spirits are contrary to God's spirit. Rather than bless, they curse. Rather than build up, they tear down. Rather than encourage, they lead to despair. Rather than promote love, they promote hate. Rather than draw us together, they seek to pull us apart. In this world of unclean spirits that continue to enslave us, Jesus has broken its hold. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from evil, or in the Greek, rescue us from the evil one. Ultimately, we have been rescued from the evil one. The evil one will have no power over us. We've been claimed by God. The battle has been won. Death, the last enemy, has been defeated. We're called to stop assuming that the way things are must always equal the way things have to be. The kingdom of God promises more, even if that more will not be fully realized until Jesus comes again. I wonder, what are the things that possess us? What are the things that we seek deliverance from? Where is God in our depression, our addictions, our illnesses, our diseases, in our losses, in our grief, in our sorrow, in those other gods that catch our eyes, in our attraction to those things which lead us away from the abundant life that God seeks to give us? Where is God when it appears God is quiet or absent? Remember, God is here. Your God is here. Against all odds, your God chose to become human, to become one of us, to draw us into a relationship so that one day all the unclean spirits and forces that seek to diminish the abundant life God wants to give you are defeated. Your God is here. In the midst of our waiting, in the midst of our pain, in the midst of our joy, in the midst of our longing for God to deliver us from the evil one, all things are going to be made new, and it has begun. The world is about to turn. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our next hymn is Canticle of the Turning in the ELW, the Red Hymnal, number 723. And I've asked Sue to play through that once before we sing. Number 723.
Puts a frog to shame, and to those who would for you yearn. name.